WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Florida residents repairing damage from Hurricane Milton, cleaning debris and trying to pick up the pieces. ABC's Jim Ryan has more from Tampa on the 16 people in Florida who lost their lives.
As hurricanes go, Milton is unusual in that so many of the storm's fatalities, at least six, were caused by the tornadoes spun off by the storm. Near Fort Meade, a county employee clearing storm debris from a road was struck and killed. At least four other people were killed by falling trees after Milton had moved through.
There are still at least 2 million power outages across the state of Florida. With a little over 3 weeks until the election, both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump have been fielding questions about the hurricanes and the government's response to it on the campaign trail. An Israeli airstrike in central Beirut overnight, the deadliest in that city yet. Officials say at least 22 were killed. This year's Nobel Peace Prize goes to a Japanese group whose mission is to rid the world of nuclear weapons. This is ABC News.
Now this news update on Wisconsin Radio Network. I'm Ted Aylin. The teen accused of helping Javarius Heard plan the attack that led to the death of Lincoln Hills Correctional Officer Corey Prue was in court Thursday. Ryan Nyblom entered a not guilty plea to charges of battery by prisoners and felony murder with special circumstances. Nyblom will return to court in December. Minnesota Governor Tim Walz will be back in Wisconsin next week as the presidential campaign moves into its final weeks. Democratic vice presidential candidate will stop in Eau Claire and Green Bay Monday. It'll be Walz's sixth stop in the state since becoming the vice presidential nominee. And the Occupational Safety and Health Administration is proposing over $200,000 in fines for a Janesville business accused of repeated safety violations. OSHA says Universal Recycling Technologies was cited for exposing employees to unsafe levels of lead and cadmium while they dismantled tubes from older TVs. Ted Aylin, Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Max FM, Gem City Weather.
One more summer-like day before fall kicks in. Today, partly cloudy. We'll get to 81 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, 43. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy. Some sprinkles, 64. On Sunday, partly cloudy. A few sprinkles with a high of only 58. Are you paying too much for health insurance? Call 800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. That's 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now, 56.
99.7.
Maximum hits, 99.7 Max FM. More music mornings with Dave. 8:03 Friday morning with Blondie. Call me on Max FM.
Call me, call me, call me anytime.
90s, and more. Max FM.
And more 99.7 Max FM. Dave Grant with you. It is 8:10 on Friday morning. I found another birthday that's a big milestone. Happy 90th birthday to Jerry Krieger. She is celebrating today here in Baraboo. So if you see her out and about, wish her a happy birthday. Again, happy anniversary to my father and mother-in-law, Tom and Beverly. 55 years of wedded bliss. That is a huge milestone. You know, it's going to be a great weather day today, and everyone's asking me, did I dance to the Tootsie Roll? No, I did not. A little bit older than when I first heard that song and danced to it. Not even going to attempt that today. I'm going to attempt some golf today. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be mostly sunny with a high of 80. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 43. Saturday, we have a slight chance of showers late in the afternoon. It'll be partly sunny, a high of 64. Sunday, shower chances continue partly sunny with a high of 58. Now, Sunday night, we're looking at patchy frost, lows in the 30s. Looking ahead to Monday night, I am forecasting lows around 28 degrees on Monday night. If that does happen, that will be a widespread frost, and that will be the end of the growing season. So if you do have any sort of plant outside or flowers, that type of thing you want to protect, you're going to want to get those inside, and you're going to want to get those things off your garden, because we're looking at the same thing Tuesday night. point. So Monday and Tuesday night, looking at pretty much a widespread frost, even going into Wednesday morning. So we're keeping an eye on that, but I do expect that to be problematic if you have things outdoors. Currently, it is 60 degrees outside. As a reminder, we are still taking qualifiers for your chance to win tickets to see Jackal this Saturday at the Crystal Grand Music Theater. You just need to text in the phrase Northern Lights. I'm going to pick multiple winners. I looked at my envelope here and I've got multiple tickets to the show. So multiple pairs of tickets that we're giving away. I will notify our winners a little after 8:30 this morning via text message. And the way that'll work, I'll reply to your text. If I need more information, I'll request that from you. And then I will put your tickets in an envelope. We'll have them outside the doors to our studio here at 201 8th Avenue. And then they'll have your name on the envelope. That way you can get to them easily. You need to pick those up today, obviously. And we want everyone to get to see that show on Saturday night. So doors open at 7 p.m. for that. Next week, it is Purple Thursday. Hope House, Thursday, October 17th. They will be doing their Purple Thursday donation drive. And I'm going to broadcast live from there for a little bit on Thursday morning. And yes, they do want to see the purple fingernails. Going to go get those taken care of again today because, yes, I'm rough on my hands for anyone that's curious. So we're going to get that refreshed a little bit. So that looks good for them on Thursday. So bring your donations over there. Go to hopehousescw.org to see what they need. You can also go to their Amazon wish list and have it shipped directly to them. It couldn't be any easier than that. So we're planning to broadcast live as long as the weather cooperates next Thursday, October 17th at Hope House. And it is pumpkin season. We need to talk about that briefly because if you're heading to the pumpkin patch this weekend, here's some tips so you bring home the best one. Check the pumpkins for soft spots and signs of mold. Don't forget to check underneath and press on it with your thumbs. If it gives a little, the pumpkin isn't fresh. Look for one that has a handle or stem intact. A dark green stem is a sign that was picked recently compared to a brown stem. Tap the outside of the pumpkin. A hollow sound means it's more likely to be easier to carve. Number four is look for pumpkins with flat walls and no deep ribs. Those are better for carving, and skip the tall oblong pumpkins, which typically have stronger flesh and makes precise cuts difficult. And number five, when you think you found the one, set it on a flat surface to make sure it sits upright and doesn't lean to one side. So there's your pumpkin carving tips for finding that perfect pumpkin this weekend. So what we're going to do is we have quite a bit going on today. We're going to have Hanging with Havel and Maddie. That'll be right around 8:30. I'm going to play a little more music, and then we will look at our calendar days coming up. Sports is brought to you by Napa Auto Parts of Baraboo on Max FM.
The Packers will be without one of their tight ends when they host Arizona on Sunday. I'm Bill Scott with sports. Luke Musgrave expected to be placed on IR today and will miss at least a month with a nagging ankle injury. Week 6 of the NFL season kicked off in Seattle last night. It was San Francisco pulling out a 36-24 win over the Seahawks. Former Badger Isaac Guerrero rushing for 99 of the 49ers' 228 yards on the ground to help the Niners improve to 3-3. Bucks dropped to 0-2 in the preseason, falling to the Lakers 107-102 at Fiserv Forum. Bobby Portis led the way with 23. The Bucks will host the Bulls on Monday night. Former Badger basketball coach Bo Ryan will be inducted into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame this weekend in Springfield, Mass. Ryan among a class of 13 recipients and is the third individual with Badger ties to be inducted into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Bill Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Community First Bank makes switching easy. Our bankers use switch assistance to help you change over direct deposits, loan payments, bill payees, recurring transfers, and much more. Plus, you'll get more from your checking account relationship. Switch today and experience firsthand how Community First Bank, a local community bank, puts you first.
Community First Bank is first for you. CFBank.com. Member FDIC.
Here's a look at some of the upcoming area events brought to you by Community First Bank.
It's time once again for Parktoberfest. This fourth annual event will be happening at the Culver Community Park in Prairie du Sac. This is on Saturday, October 12th from 4 until 9 p.m. Beer Garden will be running during that time. There'll be a meat raffle at 8:30, food trucks from 4 until 9 as well, kids games from 4 until 7 p.m., and then live music by Lights Out Band. That's going to be from 5 until 8:30. Again, this fourth annual Parktoberfest will be taking place on Saturday, October 12th, 4 until 9 p.m. at the new Culver Community Park in Prairie du Sac. And join the Portage Fire and Police Departments for their 35th annual Fire Prevention and Crime Prevention Open House. This also takes place on Saturday the 12th from 9 a.m. until 1 p.m. Also on Saturday, October 12th, the Friends of Devil's Lake State Park will be hosting a volunteer work day. You can find all the details by visiting the Facebook page of Friends of Devil's Lake. This will be taking place from 9 a.m. until 12 p.m. Again, detail with all the description of the activities as well as the location to meet will be found on Facebook.
Hear that? That's the sound of a Wisconsin factory creating good Wisconsin jobs. But now listen to what it sounds like when you add Joan Ballway.
Everything shuts down. Because instead of helping create jobs in Wisconsin, she's invested thousands of dollars in Chinese companies, helping them create jobs in China, even though Wisconsin has lost 90,000 manufacturing jobs to, you guessed it, China. And it doesn't stop there. During COVID and all the restrictions, Ballwig took $500,000 in taxpayer-funded loans for her own business and never paid it back, but voted against assistance to help other Wisconsin companies grow and create jobs right here.
So, if you want to hear more of this in China, vote for Joan Ballwig. But if you want good jobs here in Wisconsin, there's a better choice. Vote Sarah Kieske for State Senate.
Paid for by Kieske for Wisconsin.
Today's MaxFM Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at a quality float spa in Lake Delton. Feeling the pressure of life's demands? Let it go and float your worries away. A quality float spa offers a unique experience designed to reduce inflammation, relieve stress, and ease pain. Enjoy a private pod filled with salt water and relax to soothing music or peaceful silence. Go to MaxFMBigDeals.com and purchase $90 float gift certificates for just $45. Today only at MaxFM Big Deals.
Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. Get out of my dreams. Get into my car. Billy Ocean on Max FM. It is 8:23 on Friday morning. I have Maddie and Havel hanging out. They are ready to go. So we're going to get them going shortly because there's a lot to talk about with the Packers game this weekend. So we'll get them up in just a moment, but I want to go through calendar days first. So today is October 11th, and it is World Egg Day. And I already had my eggs this morning, and they were scrambled and delicious. It is also Vet Nurse Day. Vet nurses play a huge part in keeping our furry companions healthy, and we appreciate them. I know Stout appreciates them very much because he's hanging out in studio with me today, supervising. You can go look on my Facebook page to see that picture. It is also Southern Food Heritage Day, and there's also National Spread Joy Day. So let's get negativity out there and spread the joy today. It's also It's My Party Day. That seems like an appropriate one today. And it is also National Sausage Pizza Day. So yes, I am definitely hungry already thinking about that. I might celebrate that. We'll see. I suppose I better not take Wendy to McDonald's for our anniversary. So that'll probably get me into a slight amount of trouble, more than I would normally get myself into. So yeah, some great calendar days there. So, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to have a look at weather, and then we'll have Maddie and Havel jumping in for a little bit. I'll pop back in right around 9 o'clock with you this morning. So they're going to talk about what's coming up in this Packer game on Sunday. It's an important Packer game for us. So let's have a look at weather, and then we'll have Hanging with Havel and Maddie next on Max FM.
Max FM weather sponsored by Davis Home Furnishings and Flooring of Reedsburg. Stop in for all your furniture, flooring, and blind needs. See us at 2543 East Main Street in Reedsburg.
Max FM, Gem City weather.
One more summer-like day before fall kicks in. Today, partly cloudy. We'll get to 81 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, 43. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy. Some sprinkles, 64. On Sunday, partly cloudy. A few sprinkles with a high of only 58. Are you paying too much for health insurance? Call 800-693-9308 for better rates and coverage. That's 800-693-9308. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 55.
99.7.
It's time for Hanging with Havel here on Max FM. Our Packers expert, Chris Havel, will join us in just moments as we talk about the upcoming game with the Arizona Cardinals. Hanging with Havel on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm.
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
It is time for a scenic drive to Oakwood Fruit Farm and savor the season with delicious apples, fresh cranberries, cider, caramel apples, grapes, pumpkins, squash, and more. And don't forget the fresh bakery treats, apple cider, donuts, turnovers, and so much more. Every Tuesday, get 10% off all apple purchases. They are open 9 until 5, 7 days a week. Oakwood Fruit Farm, south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family fun. Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family.
It's time for Hanging with Havel here on Max FM. Chris Havel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press Gazette, and now in his 24th season as the host of Sportsline, 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Havel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm. Chris, good morning. How are you today?
Maddie, I am doing well. Thanks for asking. I have to say I'm getting settled in for back-to-back home games. Going to be nice to be at Lambeau Field, get on a little roll here, yes. Get some rhythm to that offense. And maybe this is the point of the season we look back in a month or so from now and say, yeah, that Cardinals game, Arizona, good team, but that's when Green Bay started to have it fit together and come together. That's what the hope is anyway.
You know, and honestly, it seemed like the offense started to click a little bit towards the end of that game in L.A. last week. And Jordan Love kind of got his sea legs underneath of him. He's off the injury report now, which is the good news if you're a Green Bay Packers fan. But let's go ahead and start on the defensive side of the ball. We'll get to the offensive side because I find this to be an interesting matchup. The Packers' run defense has not been great, right? In fact, last week they let the Rams rack up about 134 yards on the ground. They're going to face a brand new test this week against a dynamic Cardinals offense that's basically been the best in football at creating really big plays in the run game. So not maybe the ideal matchup if you're looking for a get-right game as far as the run defense goes. What do you think?
Well, it'll be interesting because, first off, James Conner, people that remember his career, hard runner. Mm-hmm. And he's reliable, doesn't put it on the ground much. He's helping them. He's averaging 4.6, which is more than reasonable for a lead dog at running back. But as a team, 5.5 yards per carry, to your point about all the big plays. Kyler Murray's got 10 first downs with his legs running the ball. He is averaging 10 yards an attempt. So, and if you lose track of him, he'll do like he did last week and get a 50-yarder on you before you know it. So that is a problem. Pass rush, again, we say this, but going to have to be disciplined. Going to have to keep track of that guy. And to your point about the run game, it'll be a good test for that Packers defense because that has been a weak spot for them. The back end, I think we all feel really good about. Linebackers need to pick it up, and that's part of that run game too. So the front seven really going to be front and center on display here because Kyler Murray can, we know he can hurt you with his arm. He's gotten better that way, but his legs for sure. I mean, the guy's a heck of an athlete.
Yeah, you know, and he's had kind of an up and down career in the NFL since he basically came in his rookie season. He's had a pretty good start, though, this season. 972 passing yards, 7 touchdowns, just 2 picks. His passer rating is 9th best at 99.1. And as you mentioned, he can really help with the run game. Do you think going into this particular game, the game plan for Hafley is going to be a lot like those first couple of games of the season against quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts and Anthony Richardson? Because you're going to have to try to contain him in the pocket because he's going to pick up his chunk yardage if you let him get free and do what he likes to do in the open space. So is the game plan kind of the same going in, do you think?
Boy, you know, a guy like this, if you blitz him at your own risk, you better be decisive and have a lot of conviction when you go after him. I think it's one of those games where you got to try to force them to pass. I mean, your offense could be your best defense in this game. If you get a double-digit lead, I think the Cardinals will abandon the run quicker than anything, but they prefer not to. And they have just enough explosive playmakers in the passing game to give you some problems. And the example, I mean, I'm glad the timing of it was 24-23 Cardinals over the Niners just last week. Because you're down 23-10 at half, your Arizona sitting there in Santa Clara. And really, 1-4 versus 2-3 and some hope with a win over the Niners, you're able to come back in the fourth quarter and rally. And the fact of the matter, really all the Cardinals accomplished in that game, and you could see this kind of craziness happen at Lambeau if you squint a little bit, where they forced 2 second-half turnovers, down 13 at half, forced 2 turnovers. And then the last 2 drives of the game, after doing pretty much squadouche on offense, touchdown drive, 14-play drive, 10-play drive to close it out with the game-winning field goal, and you go home a winner, and really you had 2 turnovers, 2 drives. That was your second half, but it was enough for a W. So the Packers, the cautionary tale is there for them to see.
Yeah, and you got to think that Hafley's going to have something dialed up for Jalen Hurts or for Kyler Murray because he's just he can be very dynamic and explosive, and it feels like he's gotten better over the course of the last couple of years in the NFL. Maybe it's the coaching staff, maybe it's the quarterbacks coach that they've brought in under this new coaching regime, which is in their second year now, aren't they, with the Cardinals? And so it kind of feels like maybe they've unlocked a little bit of a key to Kyler Murray and some of his talents. Now, when we talk about this Packers defense, you know, it's interesting because there's been a lot of talk about the fact that they haven't gotten a lot of pressure on the quarterback. There hasn't been a lot of blitzing. The pass rush is pretty non-existent. But they do have a 54.8 pressure rate when they bring 5-plus rushers, which is actually the best in the NFL, at least according to Next Gen Stats. Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, I mean, they could have a little bit of fun with some pressure schemes, maybe a little bit of both of them come out on the field, maybe a little bit of spying on Kyler Murray. I mean, there's going to have to be something done to contain what he can do with his athleticism against this defense that on the front line, it struggled a little bit. Let's be honest this year.
Well, I would totally agree. And I think with Jeff Hafley, it's trying to strike that balance of aggressiveness versus let's not just hand them big plays if we can avoid it. And I mean, every defense has to contend with all of that. But you've got to pick your spots. And I thought there were times this year when he was, and maybe this is kind of part and parcel, finding out what guys can do and what they can't.
Yeah.
You say, look, we're going to rush four. They all knew it going into the game, and we're going to try to get some pressure with four. And now if we don't, we'll mix it up as the game goes along. But that is not how they're going to want to operate, by just having to blitz a ton. It seems more like Hafley really likes to pick his spots, call his shot. And he's been pretty good when he has. I think he's erred on the side of being a little passive myself.
Again,
first year, five games in, and clearly Matt LaFleur, because he's playing cautious on offense when he's got Malik Willis, not wanting to put his defense in a bad position. So do you return the favor by blitzing like crazy and putting yourselves in a bad position? You know, so the coach is on your side. Let's keep him on our side and kind of err on the side of caution. But this could be a game, because if you can get inside Kyler Murray's head and get him to see a few ghosts, namely Xavier McKinney, then I think, like you're talking now, it could become a turnover fest in a hurry, especially if he's feeling the pressure down double digits. Although it didn't seem to bother him against the Niners.
No. And for this particular game, it was just announced earlier this week that they lost their best defensive lineman to injury or O-lineman for the rest of the season. The Cardinals did.
Great guard.
So he's one of the best. So I expect maybe a little feast or famine for that right side of the line, the defensive line. We'll see what they can cook up.
I did want to mention, you brought a great point up, because Arizona beat writer earlier today brought that up almost right out of the gate, saying that, and I can't even off the tip of my tongue name the player, but big impact, where you would think tackle, you know, is going to be, but a guard interior, the run game, making those things, making the tackles better because they don't have to throw as much, you know what I mean? Because the guard's so good, the interior line's so good. And that absence, I would think Carl Brooks, Kenny Clark for sure. Time to feast. Time to eat.
Yeah, absolutely. And for all of the angst that Packers fans have been having about blitzing, pressure, all of that, by the way, the Packers defense actually ranks number 7 in the NFL in pressure. So I feel like it's more of a fan-based thing. It's been a little lacking sometimes, but obviously, like you said, Hafley's using it when he needs to. And it's a sparing thing right now, but when they are using it, they're getting home and they're making some stuff work. So we'll see what he does. Now, you and I had an interesting text conversation, and we're going to quickly talk about this and then move into Xavier McKinney, who could be another very impactful guy this week and maybe, you know, change those two picks that Kyler Murray has had so far this season. But let's talk about the backfield of this defense, because this is a good defense. Most likely going to see Jair Alexander back this week, which would be great. But you and I are kind of on the same wavelength about how this backfield should look going forward, because we believe that you move Javon Bullard to slot, right? Because the safety is not his natural position, but he's very, very good at this in the slot position. You move Evan Williams then to safety, and then you bring Edgerrin Cooper back into the mix and let him cook a little bit. And to me, I think this is a defense that would be very, very frightening going forward.
I would agree with you, because one thing they have opposite Xavier McKinney, and this is moving Bullard to the slot, is a guy in Evan Williams who's a ball hawk.
Yes.
And he has good hands. That was a heck of a draft pick, it's looking like, Maddie.
Yes.
With Evan Williams. So teams are going to try to steer clear of Xavier McKinney as best they can. The problem with that is it's not like a corner. I mean, back in the day, they'd say you could put a scarecrow with a 21 jersey out there, and they wouldn't throw because they just assume it's Deion Sanders.
Right.
And not even attack that side. Richard Sherman, I think, was similar that way. But when it's a safety, it's a lot harder to get a beat on the guy. And Jordan Love actually talked about it in terms of Xavier McKinney from going against him in practice and that, saying there are times when you think about not putting as much air under the ball along the boundary when you're throwing up on the sideline on the perimeter, because he's got time to get over there. That's a nightmare. You want to make sure, and this is kind of fun, we were joking during the show today, absolutely, so that's a guy you need to know where he is pre-snap. automatically. Yeah. And that is like the highest praise and respect for a defender, because we're usually, you know, who's the Mike? Who's the Mike? No, seven's the Mike. Nine's the Mike. You know, whatever, on the O-line. They'll be calling their offensive line. The O-lineman will be saying, where's McKinney? Where's X? It's almost to that kind of level of craziness. And I don't know if it was you that gave me the stat or I just happened to stumble upon it. It's more likely you to me, but out of 320-some snaps this season for McKinney, 200-plus free safety straight up. And they're letting him roam and do his thing.
Yeah.
And I think that is just really, really smart, because we heard a lot about he can play up in the box, at the slot, on the perimeter if you have cover,
so
tight
talented.
End. Yeah, then that's all true. But you know what? Halfley, I like already. If it's not broke, don't fix it, stupid. You know,
exactly.
I mean, if he's getting picks at an incredible rate playing straight up free safety, and you have, see, that's the thing, the luxury he has now is he knows and trusts Bullard much, much more than you could opening day, and Evan Williams to boot. So you make that move and keep him in the back end, Roman, and if they don't know where he is, because his closing speed belies his 40 time, and it must be instincts, and his hands are as good as any receiver.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Now, when it comes to Xavier McKinney, obviously we've talked about it. He's leading the league in takeaways right now. He has 5 interceptions. The next closest safety has 2. Now, this next stat, though, and this is minimum of 200 snaps, by the way, this is mind-blowing. His QB rating when he's targeted is 1.2. The next closest safety in the league is 47.4. That is mind-blowing.
they're
wild numbers.
Zip.
It's wild, wild numbers, and that just tells you how good he is, and he is worth every dime that Goody spent on him in the offseason to make that backfield better. I mean, when Goody went out and he got a safety, and if he would have been able to build one from scratch, kind of like when you play Madden, Xavier McKinney has to be the guy he had in mind, and obviously he went out, he spent the money, and he brought him into the fold. So I say just keep letting the guy do his thing, because he's been a whole lot of fun to watch, and he's really making a difference on that defense. And he it's kind of like the rest of the backfield wants to try to do as well as he does, you know?
Has been set, Maddie,
yes,
for sure.
Yes.
You know, I liken it to if you're in a pickup basketball game and you have one of your 5 guys is better than anyone else on the other team, you figure to be running the court for a while. You'd hope it anyway, the way that you could hold court. And I think with McKinney, you hear it in their voices. I wouldn't say reverence. That's probably overstating it. But
maybe,
there's
maybe
definite.
I think it's close, though. I think it's
it
close.
Is.
Reverence,
I mean,
might
those,
be close.
Those young guys, when they talk about Xavier McKinney, it's almost, he's
idolization,
a legend.
Kind of thing. Yeah,
sure. I mean, but it makes them better too. The point to even being when you got that best player in a pickup game, it elevates your game. You don't want to let that guy down. And for sure, I think on that back end, and we can't even see the pre-snap stuff that he does to get guys lined up in the right position and all. But the other thing that I made a point today on the show, I think you'd agree, if he only had 2 instead of 5 or 1 instead of 5, I wouldn't feel like it was a bad move to get the guy, because he's a sure tackler. Like I said, he lines them up, gets them where they need to be. And the picks right now are kind of a bonus.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's really fun if you're a Packers fan and you ever get the opportunity to go back and watch some highlights of him in the backfield, just what you're talking about, getting guys in the right place, watch him direct some traffic sometime. It is fascinating to watch him, because what do you always, you have like 20 seconds, right? Like 20 seconds to really see what the offense is going to do and then move pieces around. And boy, oh boy, he is so good at it. So good at it. It's actually a kind of a fun game of chess to watch him in those highlights.
Now, I got to ask if Max mentioned this to you at all. Before the season started, no joke, I looked up to see Defensive Player of the Year odds for Xavier McKinney.
Yep.
He wasn't listed.
No. You got to think he's
not
climbing
listed
the
in
ranks.
Any sports book anywhere. He is 4th right now.
Yeah.
5 weeks. Yeah. He's plus 1,000, which is an incredible number. 100 to win 1,100 if you feel lucky. And DBs, safeties, it's almost impossible to get Defensive Player of the Year. It's just like whoever has the most sacks gets it. But I don't know if this string continues and the defense becomes what we think it could be by the end of the season. Xavier McKinney would not be the worst bet. I mean, it's the opposite of Justin Fields' MVP foolishness in Chicago last year. He's got what kind of odds?
Yeah.
Now, he wasn't listed at the end of the season.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. Now, let's switch over to the offensive side of the ball, because it's been a little hot or cold for this offense again to start the season. I mean, last week, for instance, the Packers had, this is kind of mind-blowing as well, not in a good way like the Xavier McKinney numbers, though. They had 10 possessions against the Rams, and six of them ended in three plays or fewer. Green Bay actually finished that game just 1 for 8 on third downs, and they didn't convert their first third down until the fourth quarter. Yikes. Now, yeah. there should be some opportunities for the Packers against this Cardinals defense that currently ranks 29th, allowing almost 8 yards per attempt. And let's start by looking at their perimeter corners. You got guys like Sterling Thomas out there. He's allowed almost a 120 passer rating, and Sean Murphy Bunting, who's allowed a 102 rating. And then you had rookie Max Melton last week, who, by the way, if the last name is familiar, he is the brother of Packers receiver Bo Melton. He played a season-high 32 snaps last week against the 49ers, and he was charged with 4 completions in 4 targets. So you got to think that if Jordan Love wants to air out the ball, and by the way, we're not going to see one of those 53-yard bombs, because it sounds like Tom Clements got in his ear about that one.
Yeah, crazy. He got a 0 for his grade on that play, and it was a 50-plus completion. And on the throw he got to Reed over the middle that Reed dropped, he got a higher grade.
Yeah, so, well, three defenders and, you know, some guy blanketing Jaden Reed. Yeah, I get it. It was pretty at the time and it was really fun. But at the same time, I'm sure Tom Clements, probably heart dropped into his stomach at that moment in time would be my guess.
Well, you know, it's always people say, well, you know, throwing into coverage, the big fear, obviously, is the interception. The fact of the matter, if three guys are around him, someone else is open. You could just do the math. They still only can have 11 out there at one time. So the error isn't, it is compounded. Right. It's not just throwing and maybe getting a pick.
Yeah.
You got lucky. Someone else was running wide open. Maybe it was Romeo Dobbs' ghost. You know, Dobbs was wide open. He was sitting all alone on his couch.
That's right. He was at home. He was maybe he was watching the game or doing something different.
There wasn't a ram within 1,000 miles of him.
At any rate, though, there should be some opportunities for Jordan Love and maybe this offense to get the, you know, to convert a little bit more on those third downs.
Well, 47%, 30th in the NFL, Arizona's defense on third down conversion rate, allowing almost every other. So if we're looking at 1 for 9 on third downs Sunday, that's not going to be good. The other thing, 27th in points allowed. And I know points can be, they've gotten blown out. They have blown out.
Sure.
They've kind of been an up and down frenetic team a little bit, but when you're 30th in third down conversion, 27th in points, I would think Jordan. And the other thing, you can't, I know Matt LaFleur is like, you know, just couldn't wait to hug Christian Watson and welcome him back and just sing his praises. What a great teammate, what a great player.
Need him for
all
the
those
run
things
game.
That you keep, yeah, and all those things that you kind of in the back of my mind, I couldn't help thinking Romeo Dobbs may not be. But Dobbs is a talented guy, and I haven't given up on him, and he'll learn. They didn't have Dobbs or Watson last week, so.
It made a difference.
That's a big deal. It is. We got, I think, jaded a little bit or spoiled maybe at the end of last year. Like, Bo Melton, you name it, throw him out there. Malik Heath, it's good to go. Well,
no, that's not always true in the NFL.
Yes.
No, you know, and Christian Watson, for even if he's not catching a lot of passes, we've talked about this. He has been blocking his behind off, opening up lanes for that run game. And I think his absence was felt last week, especially if you look at the run game and the fact that they didn't have those big lanes open downfield and there wasn't as much running room. And I think that's a direct correlation to having a guy like Christian Watson nursing an ankle. You know, I mean, let's just be honest about it.
He had a game he didn't get targeted this year, not a peep out of him.
I know. He just went out there, did his thing, and he said it after the game. He doesn't really care. As long as they're getting the wins and he can help out in that respect, he's happy to be out there. So I can appreciate that. Now, speaking of that run game, I think there's going to be some opportunities for the Green Bay offense there as well, because Arizona's defense is actually 28th against the run. They're allowing almost 148 rushing yards per game, and they're actually 20th in yards allowed per carry at just about 5. Now, you know, the Packers run defense, as we talked about just a few minutes ago, they've had their struggles. So really, this game could come down to whichever team establishes that ground game faster, better, and maybe can pick up the most yards given in any opportunity.
Well, they've given up 8 rushing touchdowns already in 5 games. So I would think Sunday that, because that's one area the Packers and rushing touchdowns, the number could go a little bit up. But and then also, a lot of first downs allowed. I mean, teams are moving the ball. They're driving it on the Cardinals.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I don't think you give up. You've got Josh Jacobs out there and Emmanuel Wilson. I mean, you know, Max and I were talking about it in text today. He's like, I see a few plays where you have both running backs out there, and maybe you've got a tight end out there as well, and really confuse that defense a little bit, because he's like, this would be the week to do it. And if you look at what the 49ers, even though they didn't win that game last week against the Cardinals, they relied on Brandon Ayuk and they relied on George Kittle to really keep the ball moving and to really put the Cardinals on their heels. And so I kind of expect Matt LaFleur to take notice of that, and maybe a big game for Tucker Kraft again, who's been, well, as we've talked, he's been so much fun to watch over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, Tucker Kraft has been just a wow, what a great, great story mm-hmm. he is. And I was thinking about the use of the double tight end. Luke Musgrave is going to be out.
Yes.
He's going to go on IR, it sounds like now, so he's going to be out a while. But Matt LaFleur, you know, if I'm sitting up there and I'm getting ready for the Cardinals and I want to run the ball against him a little bit, and you talk Tucker Kraft, you know what? I would put some double tight end action with Ben Sims
yeah.
in there.
Yeah,
I really
absolutely.
Would. I mean, I would think about it, because I don't know that they would be expecting it necessarily.
No.
And they haven't done it very much, if at all, because Kraft's pretty much been a one-man
yep.
show. But I think this might be – and it doesn't have to be a lot. You know, a drive yeah. here, one, you know, two series out of the game, out of the 10 drives you get or whatever. Sprinkle it in there a little bit. But then you got to, you know, you got to keep those receivers happy. So
yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, though, when you look at this Cardinals defense, and it's really hard to explain with the players they have on the team. It feels like they've been just going out, picking up players who end up, you know, being released, or there's not a lot of huge names on this defense, and it's a really weird mix of 11 players. It really truly is when you look at the roster. At least that's kind of my take on it. But obviously, you know, they've been good enough to win a few games and to beat the 49ers, which is not a task that a lot of teams can say they've done this year. Well, this year they've been able to. It's not been so great for the 49ers so far, but at any rate, you know, I don't know.
Well, the highly renowned Dennis Gardeck with
yeah.
three sacks is their sack leader.
There you go. See, I told you, it's weird. It's not like a name.
Just
you'd
ahead
expect.
Of ex-Packer Chris Barnes.
Yes,
with
very
the
YS strange.
With two.
It's a very strange mishmash of players, but you know,
Buda Baker's the one guy that everybody pretty much
yeah.
one name guy, I would suppose.
We're not gonna knock them for having guys that we haven't heard of, but it is a very interesting mix of players that they have.
Yeah,
over
Murphy
on the Cardinals
Bunting
season.
Is nice if you're gonna dress up the place, but otherwise, I don't know.
Now, do you expect Jaden Reed to have a big game this week? Because obviously, we've talked a little bit about how special he is. How do you think they mix him in this week for this offense?
You know what? It's like I expect him to have a big game almost every week.
Yeah.
And I think what we're going to start, I mean, I don't know, I'm just guessing here a little bit, but they have put so much on the film with Jaden Reed that's positive.
Yeah.
You'd be an idiot if you're a defensive coordinator not to, okay.
Yeah.
Let's make
yeah.
sure we know where number 11 is. And
yeah.
and now you work some things off of that. Not to appease Dobbs or Watson or anyone
right.
else, but because that's the way, when you've got a lead dog who's unselfish and explosive
right.
like Reed, he can still get his with four or five
yeah.
touches. But I think it sets up some other things and Tucker Kraft's development, because that's now
yep.
two guys. I mean, they're two best weapons in the passer rating, 143 to Kraft, 140 to Reed. I mean, you're getting your return
yeah.
on your investment. You can't get anything better than that.
Yeah, no,
but not,
I totally agree.
Work some things off of that. Maybe Josh Jacobs gets his first receiving touchdown this week.
Perhaps. By the way, he is tied for number four in the league right now in runs of 10-plus yards for the season. So we're talking Josh Jacobs, of course. But let's
How
talk
do they
a little...
get so many explosive plays when they've been that inconsistent? That's
I don't
still
know.
Kinda... And without Christian Watson. So you take out your most
it's
explosive
kinda...
guy and into your consistency, and you still lead the league in explosive plays. It's nuts.
It's as weird as the mishmashed players over on the Cardinals defense. That's
mm-hmm.
what it is. Now, let's talk for a real quick second, though. We all know how special Jaden Reed is. All you have to do is watch a Packers game to figure that out. But he is the only player in the league since the 1970 merger to post 80-plus receptions, 1,000-plus receiving yards, 10-plus receiving touchdowns, 200-plus rushing yards. That's in his first 20 NFL games. He's also the third player in the Super Bowl era and the sixth player year in NFL history with at least 400 receiving yards with 414 and 100 rushing yards at 110 in his first five games of a season. That just tells you how special this guy is. And whether or not they're going to say that there's a number one receiver on this team or not, you got to think with those types of numbers, that honor goes to Jaden Reed just by default. Does it not?
Well. I mean, Jaden Reed's your number one. I don't want to give him number one weapon. Kraft is, I think, your number two weapon. Josh Jacobs is your number three weapon.
Yep.
And then you divvy it up after that.
Yep.
Dontavian Wicks has got to start figuring some things out. They've got more drops, 13, than they do broken tackles with 12. You can't operate that way.
No. And, you know, and we've talked about it. It was some of these things were issues that plagued them last year as well. And some of it's carried over into this year. So we'll see if there's a fix for it. I mean, last year it seemed like they were, you know, trying to figure it out. They were obviously they made it to the NFC Championship game. And you have to have some of those problems figured out to make it that far in the league. So I'm hoping that we start seeing some of that progress as the season wears on as well. Now, let's talk about this. Special teams, because to me, this is where you've seen the Packers kickers. I mean, they've got Matt Prater. Any team with a kicker who's consistent has an advantage up over the Packers right now. But you got Prater versus Narveson. And it's gotten to the point where whenever a Packers kicker gets out there, even for the extra point, do you just kind of go, boy, I hope he makes it?
I'm to the point where I hope they get to settle for a field goal.
Right? Yeah. Oh, my
goodness. The only thing more deflating than having your touchdown drive become a field goal is missing the field goal.
Right? And, yeah, I don't know. I figured Brandon McManus would have been a guy that Goody would have put a phone call into right away. I mentioned it earlier this week on Monday when we chatted. Max's whole thing was, I hope they win the game against the Rams, but I hope Narveson misses every kick so they have to make a change. You know, he's like, I hope they win by 10, but that's in spite of him, not with his help kind of thing. So obviously you just kind of hold your breath until you see the kick go through the uprights. But
you
obviously
know,
the Cardinals are going to have the advantage with Prater.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, you saw Justin Tucker, the game winner, I believe it was against the Bengals.
Right.
With a really wicked crosswind. And he right at the left upright and put it right through. I think with Narveson sometimes you ought to use the – and by the way, happy birthday to Brett Favre, belated.
Yes,
But I got to say with Narveson, maybe just take a hit of smelling salts or something, or somebody bang him upside the helmet before he goes out there just to remind him it's football. Get a little juices flowing and don't overthink
somebody
it.
Somebody do
bang
something.
Bang it through the middle.
Somebody do something. And by the way, something to watch in this game is going to be their punt returner, DJ Dallas, because he's had one bet to the house this year already. So that's going to be something to watch because special teams still, I mean, they're a little bit better for the Packers. I wouldn't say they're still going to be one of the best special teams in the league. So something just to keep an eye on, Packers fans, as you're watching
34
this game
and a half yards per return for DJ Dallas. He can get after. You got to just bang it. Come on, Narveson, do one thing, kick it out of the end zone.
Exactly. You've got a big leg, and nobody's making you go through an upright there. You got the whole thing to work with. It doesn't matter if it drifts left, it drifts right. You've got the whole end zone to work with on that one. So maybe just help out a team if you can. Now, with that being said, it's horrible that we pick on our kickers like this in Green Bay.
Well, I mean, I think more about fourth down, what plays if you have to go for it from your 40, and I think about two-point conversions.
Right? How good are they on this two-point thing? Could they actually get this one in? Because it's still safer than having Narveson come out, I think.
Like I say, if the kicker's affecting your play calling as a head coach, don't change your play calling. Change your kicker.
You got to think that Brandon McManus is in the back of somebody's mind now that he's
eligible.
It's weird. It's very strange. It's
unless
very,
there's
very
more
strange.
Than me. I mean, maybe he's
could
a creep.
Be. Yeah,
I don't
it could
know.
Be that too.
I mean,
who
I hope
knows?
Not or whatever, but
separating from the rest of the team or something though, and he doesn't have to talk to them through the whole game. He can be on the end of a bench as long as he can knock it through the upright. That's all we want to see.
Well,
right?
The Niners, Jake Moody gets hurt, injures his ankle, and they got a kicker that came in. I think he made two kicks. off the street, presumably. Not in the parking lot from the game that day, but I mean, they got him off the street.
Must be nice. Memories and dreams, Packers.
I want the Packers to have auditions for kicker.
That'd be fun. Be like
Wouldn't
a new reality show.
You get $20 a kick, and you donate it to your favorite charity.
That's right.
And whoever makes the most gets to
That's right.
Try the first point after on Sunday.
you have it in the middle of Lambeau and it would sell out. Every seat would be available because I think Packers fans are tired of watching the kicking issues.
Hey, isn't that Narveson in line?
Right?
He's got a mustache. What a wig.
Now, we do have to give our final predictions for this game, Chris. I'm going to let you start. What do you think? Who wins and who takes this one on Sunday?
You know, I was probably a week too early. I'm going to say 31-13 Packers.
Okay. Oh, look at you. All right.
Big. Yeah, I think it's time. All right. It's that time. Arizona. I mean,
like
Houston
a blowout.
In the wings. I think a blowout. I do. I think they take care of biz.
All right. Well, I'm going to keep it a little bit closer. I think there's still a few bugs that this team has to work out, both offensively and defensively. And I don't have a lot of faith in the kicker. So that's going to be part of it. But I do think the defense will tighten up again this week like they've had to a couple of other times this season. And they're going to hold off one of those Cardinals second half comebacks. And I think the Packers take it 26-23 on Sunday. So, I think it's a Narveson thing. I think he misses a couple. And maybe the score would be a little less balanced if, he was more accurate and more consistent, but I don't think he is. And I think there's going to be a couple of opportunities where they could have more points on the board, and we're just not going to unfortunately see that. So,
you know, it shouldn't matter whether you miss them at home or away, but I will say this, the fans, when they see misses at Lambeau, you're not going to be long for the team.
Yeah.
On the road, you don't accept it and you didn't. But when you see it in person, it's jarring. And plus, it's your home. I mean, you're going to be kicking there nine games this season.
Yeah.
Jeez. Anyway.
Yeah. So try to make them. I think it's a close one. But I think defense does exactly what they did last week. They tighten up and they come through in another big way. It's kind of nice that this team has a defense that when you get in those situations and they get on the field, you're not like, oh boy, here comes the loss.
Right. You know, the offense has been a little choppy, obviously, and the defense is just finding its legs, really. And I do think, really, Hafley is still a little searching fire, trying to find out exactly who can do what and what situations. Yep. Because unlike offense, where you can somehow, to a degree, control, I want to get this guy a couple of shots on these plays, see what he's got. Defensively, you're a reaction, aggressive, but reactionary. Yes. So you got to kind of wait to see when they throw things at you. Or that player to see what they got. So
just play the rookies more. Play the rookies more. You've got something in the rookies. I want to see them on the field more. That would be my one hope going into this week is that we do.
Well, thank God. Football fans and Packer fans have like the greatest patience of anyone in the world, right?
I mean, they're never
in a hurry to get to.
We're always satisfied with however it plays out. It's fine. It's fine. With that being said, you and I will talk again later this week. In fact, on Monday, I guess. We're going into a weekend, aren't we? So,
I know. These weeks are running together here.
They really do.
More than a third of the season over after this
week. I know. Isn't it crazy? It's absolutely crazy. So you and I will chat again on Monday, and hopefully we're celebrating another Packers victory. It'd be nice to string another couple wins together and really kind of start solidifying your place in the NFC North because it is the